listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
All right, final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Online, tsn1050.ca. Game 6 tonight, tip-off in 3 hours. Chris Bosch will join us at 6:40 ahead of the game tonight. And I just saw this come in, MLSC with an update on what's going on down at Jurassic Park.
They're allowed in the building.
No, this is the email. We are moving ahead with the Raptors tailgate viewing party in Maple Leaf Square. The weather forecast supports this decision, and we look forward to welcoming fans at 7 p.m. to watch the game. It will be outside.
What about the St. Louis Blues? I think they opened up the baseball stadium,
too.
Busch Stadium and the rink.
The Jays are down in Baltimore. Why not fire up the Rogers Center as well? I mean, get everyone downtown if you can. That'd be great. But I guess they are saying if lightning comes into the area, it will be a contingency plan to get into the building, I guess. But they're holding on hope to just keep people outside, basically.
Well, I hope they're not just, like, looking at the weatherman's forecast and going...
But what else are they going to do? It's not like, you know, Larry Tannenbaum is a meteorologist and is going to step outside and be like, let me get a read on the situation.
50% of the time, the weatherman is wrong. That's what I'm concerned about, is the weatherman, I mean, it's a coin flip sometimes with him.
Exactly. And listen, if it's raining and it's windy, then, you know, you make the decision to go down there. It sucks.
Yeah.
But if it's lightning, you're putting people in potentially a very dangerous position.
Yeah, you cannot have lightning down there, dude.
You gotta let people in or tell them to go home. You know, turn off the TVs and basically be like, sorry, we can't be responsible for your well-being.
Yeah, a lot of it is that way. They have to protect themselves.
Well, I think my mic is cutting in and out.
No, your mic's fine. I hear you. You're good.
You can hear everything?
Yeah, it's the headphones. It's all good. It's the headphones. Okay. There's an issue. It's all good.
There's definitely a malfunction in here, but it's fine.
Yeah, he's going to go right through that window here.
Well, it's not their fault. It's somebody's fault.
No, I know.
There's nothing wrong with your mic. Your mic is fine.
I'm Brooks Koepka. Someone's got to be blamed for it, and I got a chip on my shoulder. And
who is going to pay the price for your mic cutting out?
I don't know, but it's happening, and I'm telling
it's happening to me, too, but it's fine.
Hey, listen, man. We're treating this show like a Game 7. Nothing is going to stop me from bringing the heat.
They're hooking and holding in the neutral zone. We got to get in the corner and finish the job here.
Yeah, we have to. There's no other way around it.
Keep your feet moving.
54 minutes and we're out of here. We got to be good.
Actually, the Tap Man and Matt Cause are coming up with a pregame at 7, and I'm sticking around for the first segment with the Tap Man.
Really?
Yeah, I got the invite.
So you're doing a yes guy, no guy?
I hope.
Raps version?
I better be. I'll be disappointed if I'm not a part of Yes Guy, No Guy.
You should get an envelope with a piece of paper inside it and say, Tap Man, I've come up with a new segment. Open that envelope and look what it is. And it just says, Yes Guy, No Guy. Yeah, my mic's.
There you go. Yes. See, now we're all cutting in and
garbage.
Out. It's just a matter of time before the whole ship started to sink in.
It's
here.
All good.
I hope they all just go blank and we get to go home.
Yeah, we're good.
Out of here.
Listen, this is the last hour of potentially. We're building up here to potentially a championship here.
That's right.
Let's dig in.
Yeah, we're all in this together.
With sign language, unfortunately.
So you claimed in the previous segment that you could play a round of golf in 2.5 hours.
For fun.
For fun, if it's two guys in a cart and you're the first one out. So you're not running into anybody.
Nothing.
There's a lot of support for that because I guess a lot of people think that they're really good golfers. I find it hard to believe. You know, I can play. I've never played in 2.5, ever.
Yeah.
Never played in 2.5.
I know because you're kind of brutal guy that takes 10 practice swings.
No, I don't take a lot of practice swings. But I got a routine. Like, I get up there and I don't just hack it around.
So you have a routine. Like, walk us through your routine quickly. Like, is it... How many practice swings is it? Two or three?
No,
is it like yardage finder? Get the yard. You don't have.
Don't have that. I don't have any of those gadgets, man. I'm winging.
You go
it
in
on
the bag,
yardage.
And you've got the yardage.
My dad's got it on his watch. He'll walk up and be like, "Here, I'll give you a yardage on that."
Like Garwin.
Is that what it is?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All the older guys, they all have it.
They love it.
Gotta have it. Gotta have it.
But are they
good
enough?
It's their browsers. They have to have that.
They delete the history after every round.
But they
Delete the 197-yard approach shot on a 300-yard par 4.
Right.
Delete browser history.
It doesn't change their game.
No, that's what I'm saying.
No, it doesn't make any difference. Dude, if you're in the ball, if you play enough, you're like, it's about 100 yards. It might be 105.
Right.
But it's still a wedge for a lot of people, and you're like, okay, figure it out and hit the ball. You know, like, yeah. If you're not a really good golfer, it doesn't really matter what the yardage is because you're just trying to get on the green.
And you're trying to get it close.
Yeah, exactly. you're not throwing a dart. You're just like, if I can get it close enough to the green, I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Bobby Mack, we got to get this back on
rails. Well, we've got somebody who's happy because his travel is technically over for the Stanley Cup final.
To Bobby Margarita.
I do believe he's got to go to, the awards,
Vegas,
the draft.
And then he's off to Vancouver. Then he's back here for free agent frenzy. But
the end is in sight.
Here's Bob McKenzie, your TSN Hockey Insider. How you feeling, Bob?
Excellent, boys. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're jacked up, man. We're looking for we're loving this because everyone is back, included in the conversation. It's not only two teams anymore, and it feels like it's going to be a big off season. What are you bracing for?
Yeah, I would certainly think so. I think there's a lot of teams that, kind of go into this thing. And it might be the same every year, and then there's a bit of a letdown as you get closer to the draft and stuff doesn't happen and everybody trips over their lip and says, oh, it was supposed to be so many things happen, nothing happened. But I think there's a lot of teams that are really aggressive in terms of their mindset. I think the Leafs are one of those teams. I think Vancouver wants to make something happen. I think Edmonton wants to make something happen. Calgary, Winnipeg, a lot of the American teams, Philadelphia, Florida. I'm sure there's no shortage of teams that have an eye towards doing something, but, getting it done with the salary cap and everything else that goes with it. But there's so many aspects of it. I mean, the buyout season starts on Saturday, so things are going to start revving up on that front, or they could. No one says you have to have a buyout on the first day, but there's going to be a week period there where they've got the ability to buy players out. So might be some notable names if trades don't happen. And there's a second buyout period, so you don't have to do the buyout now, but whether it's Corey Perry or whether it's Dion Phaneuf or take your pick, there's a lot of those types of names that will be out there as strong candidates for buyouts. You've got trades that can obviously happen. You've got the RFA negotiations that are going to go on, not just in Toronto, but Winnipeg and Calgary and San Jose and Tampa and virtually everywhere, it seems, with really good players. And then you got the UFA guys, and you got Carlson and others that are in that situation. So it's going to be fascinating. Pittsburgh, are they going to trade Kessel? I know Dreg's just talking the other day, maybe Letang's the guy that's going to go. So there seems to be a lot of balls in the air. Now, whether somebody catches them or whether they all get dropped between now and the draft, who the hell knows? But it's certainly going to be busy for us.
Well, Bob, talking at the beginning of the show, seeing St. Louis and what they did, just the sake of making some change, I mean, they totally revamped their center ice position. They signed Bozak. They brought in O'Reilly. They brought in Shen. And guess what? Massive part of their team. So for the teams that just seem to fall in love with their players that don't win, why not shake it up a little bit? We're just hoping that watching St. Louis win last night can just provide some transactions, some excitement this summer.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, they hit a home run on the Shen deal. They hit a home run on the O'Reilly deal. They signed Bozak as a free agent, and you're absolutely right. It is, highly, highly, highly unusual for a Stanley Cup champion team, especially in a salary cap era, to go out and virtually make over their entire center ice position, line one, line two, line three, with trades and free agency. If you look at the history of, whether it was the Kings winning, it was Kopitar, and if it was the Penguins, it was Malkin and Crosby, and the Blackhawks, it was, Taves and the other guys they drafted. It was, most of these teams were bad for a long period of time, got really high picks, got franchise-type players, and that's why they won Stanley Cups. St. Louis was a real anomaly. But the flip side of that is, it's easy now that they've won to say that, but there wasn't anybody in mid-December saying, hey, man, even though the Shen deal was a home run even at that point because Letera wasn't that good. And that was a money dump for Philadelphia. So there's sometimes reasons why things get done. But nobody was telling Doug Armstrong he's going to win Executive of the Year in mid-December when he's made all these trades. And, the O'Reilly trade didn't look too, hot at that point. And people were thinking that, Buffalo actually did pretty well with it. But Now then the pick ends up being, instead of it being 15, it ends up being 31. There's a big difference there. But your point's well taken. I mean, if you're going to, you know, go out on your shield, like be aggressive and trying to make some moves if you can make it happen. And Doug Armstrong made those deals happen. And he ultimately succeeded with them, but for the longest time, it looked like he might die with them too.
With Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider, the Leafs have not been shy when it comes to what their top priority is. They want to sign Mitch Marner, but do you get the impression like they're going to make roster player trades? In other words, Zaitsev, Marlowe, Brown, or others, before they even get to a point where they sign Mitch Marner?
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, they've got to have a handle on the universe for Marner, even if it's not the precise number. And I think you've got to be a little bit careful because you just don't know where things are going to go with it. So you don't want to be offloading a bunch of guys. But you know, they want to trade Zaitsev. They want to trade Marlowe, but Marlowe's driving the bus on that. So that'll determine whether or not that happens. But I suspect he probably would look favorably if they can find a spot for him that him and his family want to go to. So there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity on Zaitsev. You know, but probably what will happen, you know, I saw Dregs tweeted today that after Vancouver had shown interest in Zaitsev, now Edmonton is showing some interest in Zaitsev. And you can kind of see where it's going. Whether it's Kapanen or whether it's Connor Brown, you know, teams like Vancouver and Edmonton are probably going to be, certainly Edmonton anyways, if they're going to take a guy like Zaitsev in his contract, they're probably going to want to try to get a premium. And whether that's, as I say, Connor Brown or, and I'm not saying that those are the talks they've had because I don't know anything about it. I just flew right. Got out of the Stanley Cup final, and I'm not up to speed on every little detail of what's going on, so I don't want to radio myself here and suggest that, you know, Connor Brown or Kick Happening are part of a Zaitsev trade to Edmonton. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, those are the types of deals that teams like Edmonton will be looking at if they're going to take a player like Zaitsev from the Leafs.
Bob, this is a copycat league, and we've been trying to talk about, you know, with the way that the Blues won the Stanley Cup last night. If there's other organizations out there looking to emulate a little bit of what St. Louis did, what would be the one takeaway of what you noticed in the finals and what St. Louis did to ultimately win the Cup?
Well, they were obviously a physical team, and they were big. You know, and that's why Mike Babcock commented on their defense in midseason. He talked about how long they are. He was basically saying that Parayko and Bouwmeester and Pietrangelo and Gunnarsson and Bortuzzo and all these guys are, you know, they're all well north of 6 feet tall, and they're big guys, and they can lean on you. And they also know how to check, and they know how to play without the puck. So there was a bit of an old school element to their game. But I just don't think you can play copycat because I don't know where you get Colton Parayko. Like, yeah. So they're looking at it and saying, okay, that's the way St. Louis won, so that's the way we should do it. So, okay, so where do you find a 6'5" defenseman that can skate like the wind, can hammer a puck on the power play, can break the puck out, and then is good without the puck as he is with it? I mean, they're hard to find, and if they can find one, bring it on. You know, they're not opposed to that. But you got to be careful with the whole copycat thing because by the time you finish trying to copycat what happened, somebody else is already coming up with a new idea or a new, you know, some sort of leading edge thing that is going to be different. And someone different will win the Cup next year and it'll be all speed and skill or whatever. And people will say, oh, that's the way to go. And some of these teams will be caught chasing something that happened, you know, basically the team that was built 12 or 18 months ago.
Bobby, before we get you out of here, just quickly, it seems like you've been gone for a month covering one series. Is that too long? Is that like too much? It's just, they got to get it this is. Over quickly.
Well, it's you know, it, you know it, the reason for the most part is television. I mean, we work for television networks, and they want specific dates, and with Memorial Day weekend starting when it started, they prefer not to go on the Saturday, the Memorial Day weekend, and the Monday of Memorial Day weekend. So, you know, TV is a big part of it, especially in the States. But I hear you. I mean, you're right. I left for the Stanley Cup. Well, the media day was 2 weeks ago this past Sunday. So I went down on Saturday. So I left the house 2 weeks ago Saturday, or put it another way, it'll be 3 weeks this Saturday since I've been home. I'm not home now. I actually had to fly to Florida for some stuff to take care of, but I won't be home until Saturday night, and I go Sunday to Vegas, and away we go. But I just looked at it, and I got a 31-day stretch where I'll spend one night in my own bed, which is a little unusual for me being a studio guy and what have you, but it's just the nature of the beast. But I agree, the Stanley Cup Finals dragged out too long. It was 17, 18 days, whatever it was, if you include media day. And for a seven-game final, that's just too long. But I don't know what you do about it, because it's for the most part, it's television and building availability, and I don't know if that's going to change anytime soon.
Well, safe travels, Bob, and we'll do it again soon. Hopefully you're back up here when we chat with you next.
Awesome. Thanks, boys.
It's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. Love to know what he's doing down there in Florida. What's he working on down there?
Buying another place, probably.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of operation old Bobby Margarita's up to down there. We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll break that news.
He's
building
a compound in FLA.
Yeah, that's kind of what it felt like, maybe. Chris Bosch from Oracle a little bit later in the hour. Game 6 tonight, we're teeing that up. A little more likely to happen. We'll get to that game as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Welcome to Wayne's World.
I feel like Garth and Wayne just stormed off the set. Like I'm pretending to have a good time. I'm having a good time. Not. My computer's stalled. The mics are, you know, all out of whack, but it's all good.
If we had pets, what would
their heads be falling off?
Their heads would be falling off. Tiger Woods is one over at the U.S. Open. But I believe Brooks Koepka, who can't find himself into a promo, I think he's 4 under on the 7th hole.
Just dominating.
4 under on the 7th hole at a U.S. Open. How is that possible?
Because he rips it with a butter fade every shot. Johnny Miller always said, if you hit a butter fade, you are going to win some U.S. Opens because it stays on the property. Guys that hit that crop duster hook, you just saw what happened to Tiger Woods.
Oh, margarine hook.
He snafoozled one like a hook.
Yeah.
It gets you in so much trouble. The butter fade wins U.S. Opens, and he's won 2 in a row.
Yeah, he has.
Maybe he'll make the promo next year.
I think he should. Yeah, he's got a chip on
the shoulder. And
by
the way,
man,
this is not just a little sizzler fade like yours that goes out. Like, this thing is moving.
I got a butter cut. I got a butter cut and a margarine fade.
What's your average off the tee? Are you 250?
Dude, you hit your driver 216 yards, and I'm not even joking, so don't even tell me anything different.
That's not true, but it,
how far do you tell
minimum
me?
Minimum 240 off the tee. Minimum.
You're such a liar, dude.
Minimum 240.
Dude, I hit a nutted 3-wood 240, and I know that would go 50 yards by your driver.
Yeah, I hit a driver 190 yards.
I'm telling you, your driver goes 215. If you want to go out and get a laser, I'll do it with you.
A laser.
Yeah, I will.
I'll meet you for lunch at my golf club, and we'll go out there and get a TrackMan.
We'll just go on the range. I don't need to play.
That's right. On the range,
hit the TrackMan. Are those signs even?
Seriously, no, I'll talk to our teaching instructor, and we'll go on the range at Weston, and we'll get a TrackMan.
Set it up, man.
All right.
Get it set up, and I
next week we'll do it.
Fine. What do you hit off the tee? Average.
It doesn't. I'm so crap at golf. Well, that's what I average, 265.
That's about what I used to see. I played with you a couple times.
Can you get the 3? Okay. Are you 3? Let's be honest.
Why don't we have a death match out there?
Could you get this?
Well,
guy
I'm not as
three?
Good of a golfer as you.
Hey, I'll give you a shot a hole.
Oh, dude, I'll crush you at a shot a hole. Like, stop it. You think you could beat me with a shot a hole? You give me 18 shots?
18 shots.
Dude, I'd dust you. You'd be dormy by about the 12th hole. You'd be dormy.
When are we doing it? I'll give you a shot a hole.
Whenever you want, man. Although not at Weston. That's your track. Tam O'Shantern.
No, not Tam-o blue jeans, not Shantern. Tam O'Shantern. I'm not doing that. We're
Don
doing
Valley.
It at Weston.
Don Valley.
No.
Go to Dregs' course.
Oh, come on.
The goat track. I was playing pretty well at the track.
Those were your type of conditions.
I was right in my element.
Yeah. Par 4, 6 iron to the green. Great course, Dregs.
This TSN 1050 Golf Report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Tick every box this summer in a Subaru with great rates on your favorite 2019 models and visit your local Ontario Subaru dealer today. All right, Chris Bosch is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Little game we like to call What's More Likely to Happen?
Yes.
You get two options. Both of them are usually very extreme. Maybe they're both really likely or both of them are very unlikely, but you've got to pick.
Right.
You guys ready to play some What's More Likely to Happen?
Yes.
More likely to happen. Steph and Clay combine for more points than any Raptors duo tonight, or Kawhi Leonard leads the game in points tonight.
Steph and Clay.
Doesn't mean they win, but I still think they can combine for more.
More than a duo? But here's the truth. I think both are going to happen. So what do I think is more likely? I think Kawhi leads the game in points tonight. I think he's going off for like
Steph
40.
Curry leads.
Okay, well then. Yours is clear, though.
Yeah.
Mine's clear, too. Steph and Clay, but as a tandem. But they can do that if their depth doesn't score.
Right.
And the Raptors' depth does score.
Won't matter.
And that's what I'm saying.
Doesn't have to matter.
I wasn't trying to be negative.
No. There's no negativity here. I'm not saying, if staying, the safe money is on Steph and Clay combining for more points than, let's say, Kawhi and Siakam.
Right.
Or Kawhi and Lowry, just because of who they are.
Right.
But I think Kawhi leads the game in points tonight. I do. I think he puts up 35 to 40 and leads the game in points. But I think it's more likely
that the duo does it.
That the duo beats a duo for the Raptors.
Okay, yeah.
More likely to happen. Drake parties with the Warriors if they win the NBA title, or Drake is not front and center at the Raptors parade if they win the title.
Drake parties with the Warriors. He's buddies with Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. He has their numbers tattooed on his arm.
He is, but you know if they win, it's going to be all about him.
Oh, he'll be in the parade if they win. I'd be shocked if he wasn't in the parade. Shocked.
He would be front and center.
So that's more like,
And if Kawhi decides that he just wants to go for like half the parade, Drake will take his spot. That's how excited he would be.
And they'll invite him.
Obviously,
now,
he's an ambassador.
Here's why I'm going to say it's more likely Drake is not front and center. Well.
No, he's front and center.
I think he will be. Unless he's got a scheduling confliction. You know, unless he's scheduled to be somewhere and he can't make it to the parade.
He will.
There's
cancel,
a chance.
He'll cancel a world tour to make it to this parade.
I think he probably would.
So I
don't think he's going to party with the Warriors.
I don't think he's that stupid.
I don't think he would do that. Well, not against the Raptors. He's done it the past four years.
Here's the thing. Define party. He may go over to the dressing room and give out some hugs.
He's
and
in
stuff.
There.
Well, he'll do that then. Because I think even as hard as I am on him the other day, I don't know if he was putting an act on or not when KD went down. He was. That's his guy. You could see he was. But he knew the camera was on him, too. He wasn't dumb enough to be cheering or doing anything like that. He took that hard.
Oh, yeah.
He knows you could tell if he was like kind of behind the scenes giving a fist pump like, hey, this is.
That would have been brought up big time.
That would have been brought up.
Yeah.
He was smart enough to do that.
I'll say it's more likely Drake is not front and center because he might have a scheduling problem. Maybe. Or maybe someone finally gets to him and goes, listen, man, it's not your parade. Like, the players and coaches, and they're on the buses and stuff.
Dude, he would be the headliner in that parade.
Yeah, I think he'd be the headliner.
Yeah,
they're both
very likely to happen.
Like, you know how they have the stage and somebody hosts it? Wouldn't you think it would be Drake?
I fully assume he's there doing something in some capacity.
Yeah.
Introducing everybody onto the mic or something.
He did that at the All-Star game, didn't he?
Yeah, in Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be there.
More likely to happen, final one here. Kevin Durant plays a game next season, or Kawhi Leonard does not sign in either Toronto or L.A.?
Kevin Durant will play a game next season. I think he'll be ready by the new year.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not the timeline that's being reported.
Justin Williams.
I know, but he said it was a different sport. Hockey,
yeah,
you're
said
in a boot.
The boot and that. Everyone.
And I guess he's got to be careful because if he does it again, then it's career over.
Right.
All I was reading is Boogie Cousins was 12 months and somebody else was 14.
Ooh, yeah. That's no, he's not playing. So whatever the other option is.
I read that yesterday.
Well, then I don't like the other option either.
That's the one for you. I think it's the more likely. I don't know. Yeah, you're
right. I don't think Durant's playing next year, like a year. Unless
I don't think he is either.
Unless he signs with Golden State and they make it to the finals again.
But wouldn't you be shocked? That's why I think I'm going to say Kevin Durant. It's more likely Kevin Durant plays a game next season because I think that's a real possibility. I can't picture Kawhi out of nowhere being like, I'm signing with Brooklyn.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe, but it seems like it's either Toronto or L.A. That's what the everyone's pointing to that.
Right.
I think
it's Toronto. I'm not in the know. I'm on the outside as a fan. But I think people leave him alone here. I don't know what his personal life would be, but I think he likes kind of just, I mean, he's a god here, but I don't know. If he wants obscurity, that I guess L.A. would be the place to go because
Hollywood,
you
man.
Can hide, you can hide there, but he's going to an organization that...
Well, it doesn't sound like it's going to be the Lakers. Like, the reports indicate the Lakers are not signing anybody. They got to trade for people.
Right.
Now, that could change between now and July 1, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. There you have it. More likely to happen.
More likely.
Not a bad game.
My new favorite segment.
Not a bad game.
Hayes beats O-Dog with the one shot. Would you one
18.
Shot per hole?
One shot per hole.
We'll do it before July 1st. I know that.
Fine.
But it's got to be at 7:30 a.m.
Well, then we got to find a course.
No, my course.
We're not playing at Westin, man.
Dude, you're playing for free. What do you care?
Because I'm in this to win it, dude. You know all the angles, and you know, like, I need to have, we need a neutral.
And by
site.
The way, it's back tees. So.
No, whites.
We'll come back and discuss it.
That's why you're getting a shot a hole.
All right, fine. We'll play from the tips. I don't care.
A shot a hole.
Yep. With a card?
Yes.
Done. Lock it in. Lock it in. Chris Bosch will join us from Oracle. We'll tee up game 6 with him tonight. What do the Raptors have to do to take this home? We'll get you that answer next. All right, here we go. Game 6 tonight. Raptors looking to make history. The first time ever winning an NBA title. I'm feeling good about it. They've been great on the road. At Oracle Arena, the final game at Oracle. You know the crowd will be allowed. But they were allowed game 3 and 4, and the Raptors just said, time for you guys to be quiet, man.
Weren't worried about it then.
We are feeling it tonight. Let's see where we go from here. Let's head out to Oracle. Here's a longtime Raptor in Miami Heat, and now our TSN NBA analyst, Chris Bosch. What's the vibe like out there, Chris?
Oh, man, it's tense. I love it. It reminds me of old times, you know, but it's good. I think everybody is, you know, it's super focused. You can feel the intensity when you walk in the gym. So I'm ready to watch some basketball.
What do you think of the odds of the Raptors winning 3 games in that building, Chris? It seems kind of crazy to think about it, the way they performed at home throughout the years and in this playoff run, the Raps going in there to get 3. Is it doable?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even if it's a, 1% chance, doable. I've never been one to pay attention to odds, this is always the season to not pay attention to them because you can always look at the odds and tell yourself why something can't be done. You know, they never say, oh, yeah, the odds are pretty good. Be confident. Usually when they're bringing up odds that, they're stacked against you. So that's always going to be the narrative. The fact of the matter is this has been a great series. They've got to win a game on the road or at home, but I'm sure they would like to finish it tonight. So, they know they've won here. They've won all year here, and they should feel confident.
Well, if the Raptors win tonight, that'll be the 5th win in a row by the road team. Like, Golden State obviously won game 2 and game 5 at Scotiabank.
Right.
What are you seeing from these teams? I mean, why have both teams been so successful on the road?
I don't know, man. That's an interesting thing. I mean, my philosophy was always to protect home court, and if you lose 2 home games in the NBA Finals, you're probably going to lose them, which, happened to us plenty of times, every time, actually. So if you don't defend home court, you can't capitalize. And, it's going to hold true regardless for whoever wins this series, They're going to have to make sure they, try their best? I don't. You know, that's a good question, and I don't know. That's an interesting thing. I that wouldn't make me too comfortable. I wouldn't like being in that position if I lost two home games. I wouldn't feel confident. But, you know, both of these teams seem to, you know, have some interesting resiliency. And, you know, it seems to be the best situations for both teams. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Chris, we were talking in the last hour. If there was one thing that the Toronto Raptors have to do tonight to win the championship, what do you think it would be?
Defend. You're going to have to defend. And I would add a plus to that. They're going to have to knock down outside shots. You know, they're going to have to put pressure on the Warriors' defense. They're going to have to run the ball down their throat and really take advantage of all the injuries that they have. And you know, I say defend because they're going to have to be on Clay and Steph. You've seen what happens when you forget about them for 2 minutes. You know, they're going to have to focus on those guys, and they're going to have to play the best defensive game, you know, really of their life, to get out of here with a win.
With Chris Bosh live from Oracle Arena, ahead of Game 6 tonight. You can watch it on TSN and CTV. Tip-off at 9 p.m. In terms of, you know, we know the importance of Kawhi Leonard, and he's got to be the go-to guy for the Raptors tonight. But, you know, who has played that Robin role to his Batman all year? It's kind of adjusted over the course of the season. At times it's been Kyle Lowry. At times it's been Pascal Siakam. Of those two guys, Lowry and Siakam, who do you think needs to have a bigger game for the Raptors to have success tonight?
Well, I'm going to go with Lowry. You know, he's got more experience. He's the grizzled veteran. When he plays well, if he scores the basketball, I don't know what the stats are, but I'm pretty sure they probably have a pretty decent record, you know, probably better when he doesn't score as much. And I know, you know, it's a tough position to be in because he's at the point guard. He wants to make sure that he gets other guys going. He should get himself going tonight. He should be really, really aggressive trying to score tonight because when he's dangerous, that opens up everything else. And that's he can be that other threat because he can shoot the outside shot. He can get to the free throw line and shoot a high percentage. He can get other guys involved. Pascal Siakam is still in his raw stage. He still has his upside and potential is, you know, tremendous, and he's going to get a lot better. I think for Kyle, the time is now, man. You know, he's been in the NBA a long time. You know, this is his moment, and if he just steps up and just, you know, just put it all out on the line, I think they'll be all right.
Well, you said the keys to them winning tonight: defend, number one, and then right beyond that, you got to hit threes, and that's where Danny Green comes into the picture because his perimeter defense is, you know, world class, and if he's on, he can shoot better than anybody else in the league. I gotta believe, you know, he's gonna have to be an X factor tonight, but he's been really difficult to get a read on because he's been so hot and cold throughout the playoffs. But he's a veteran. Do you feel like his past success, or even couple of games where he hasn't necessarily had it, do you think that will have any effect on him going into the game tonight?
No, I don't think so. Danny's a champion. He's been here many times before. This is his third finals. You know, he'll be fine. You know, he's not going to stop shooting. That's one thing about a shooter. You know, you got to shoot the next one. You just have to move on. You have to have a short memory. And I look for him to have a short memory. But, you know, he's had 2 days to really look at the film. Sometimes after your mistakes, those can be your greatest comebacks and greatest games because you see the silly things that you were doing before in the past game and you can correct those mistakes. But I don't think it's going to have any effect. I look for him to be aggressive shooting the basketball. And if he's not going to be aggressive, I'm sure Nick Nurse will take him out and, you know, Van Vliet will play more minutes. So, you know, that's the best thing about the Raptors. They have that depth. So I believe in Danny. He's gonna play just fine.
With Chris Bosh ahead of Game 6 tonight at Oracle. You can watch it on TSN. We asked you before Game 5, you know, the pressure that would be on the Raptors, knowing that the Larry O'Brien trophy is in the building. They didn't find a way to get that. Now you move on to Game 6. You've had 2 full days to think about a missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you understand if you lose tonight, Game 7 is on the verge. Does the pressure elevate? How do you feel like the Raptors are going to be approaching tonight's game compared to the way they approached it in Game 5?
Well, the pressure's already there. And those things you can't think about. You know, those are things you just – if you're thinking about Game 7 and how messed up it'll be to have a Game 7, then you're probably going to have a Game 7. If you're thinking about the next possession and how to stop Clay and how to stop Steph, I would start there. You know, that's what I loved about these moments in the finals, and when things are at stake, it kind of takes all that stuff out of it. You only have today and the moment at hand, you know. So all those thoughts and stuff are out the door, man. You know, they've got to play well. They've got to shoot it well from the outside. Each player knows that he's got to lock into his responsibility. And they probably looked at game five, and just sometimes, you know, you look at it and you need to see I always like to call them horror films. You need to see that horror film the next day. And you have to be honest with yourselves, and you have to get better, you know. And if they're a team that can do that, then look for them to compete well tonight. Look for them to correct those mistakes and try to limit those mistakes that they made, especially in the last 2 minutes.
Tell Duthie that his tie's a horror show to look at that on TV when you see him next, all right?
All right, man.
Enjoy it tonight, Chris. Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a good one tonight, man.
Oh, yeah. There he is, Chris Bosch out there for SportsCenter. James Duthie. NBA Finals course.
The only time he's ever worn a bad tie.
I didn't see it. I don't even know. Not a good look for him.
Yeah. Winners.
That's all right. Listen, man, he doesn't care. There's going to be like 7 or 8 million people watching the game tonight.
That's why you got to have your A tie.
Yeah, ideally you would. Ideally you would. Like every game is smashing the previous record for most watched NBA
tonight
game in Canadian
will be
history.
A monster
number.
Thursday night is, like, you would know better than me, isn't, like, I'm not a downtowner.
Green is, light.
But Thursday
special.
Night is the biggest night of the week in Toronto, isn't it?
It can be, yeah, if you're in a certain industry and if you're work. If you
no, I don't
downtown.
Think any industry. It's like Thursday night is go time.
It's a big
Everybody
night.
Mails it in Friday. Nobody yeah. even nobody downtown even goes to work on Friday. If they do, it's till noon. Then they go get crushed again.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've never been a Bay Street guy.
Thursday's
I don't know
part
what
of
the deal
weekend
is down
now.
There.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
Thursday's
absolutely.
A part of the weekend.
I love it.
Thursday's a great night to go out. I will admit that. But the weather's terrible, so that will affect, you know, what. There's not going to be any patios going on tonight. But the bars are going to be packed all over the city.
By the way, next week, Thursday night is nice. Three of us. Grapples, malls. How about a patio night for us?
I'm all over that.
We're winding down. We only got a couple weeks left.
Rock? Is that?
No,
that's a Wednesday.
They don't have a patio either.
We got to get fake fireman badges, too, to compete.
They might have a rooftop down there.
At Croc Rock?
Do they? I can't remember. I mean,
no, we have one of the Christmas parties. There's no rooftop.
Well,
where people go out and blow darts.
In December, clearly they wouldn't.
No, there's no Croc Rocking it.
What about above Gretzky's there? Was it Oasis?
Oasis?
Yeah, that's not a bad spot. How about the Amsterdam Brew House?
Yes.
That's the place.
Next
to go.
Thursday, us four, Amsterdam.
We've got great pretzels.
The best. It's great
the
food.
Soft pretzel there.
Amsterdam Brew House on the Queen's Quay. That is the place to be.
Yeah.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the over in the Blue Jay game tonight, although it looks like there's going to be a rain delay. That game went over 4 hours last night. I couldn't believe it. The whole Stanley Cup Final, Game 7, was played, the cup was handed out, and they were still wrapping up that debauchery of a sporting event. Who am I on tonight? The Rays, and I'm on the Yankees Road Plus in the south side of Chicago. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Game 6 tonight.
We're going to be talking about the Raptors possibly being world champs tomorrow. Any idea what time we kick off?
At 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.